Sci-Fi.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. If you have a 5-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air and subscribe to our Patreons. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. Why don't we welcome aboard the SSRLSF our friend who is he's mucking with his stuff right now. I don't even know if he can hear me. Sevan Najarian. What's
hey,
up, man?
How's it going?
Good, man.
You've
how
been
you doing?
On the show enough times where we can skip the WoW scale, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm more Wade than Wade, I think, at this point. Cuz I think we established the last time that it's the superstition that you hold on to that I don't have, so that makes me
right.
More Wade than you.
Yeah. Technically I think it just makes you a one because Willie's not superstitious. So it inches you back towards Willie.
Okay. All right.
And you were our last real guest, right?
Yeah, in person, last real guest.
That's
yeah.
True. So that was like 6 months ago.
I'm like, holy shit! I can't believe how long ago that was. I was thinking of you, and I'm like, no, he was just on it. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's August 11th. I don't even remember when it switched to August. It seemed like yesterday. Like yeah. This year. Like, obviously, this year can't be over fast enough, but it's not like anything's going to get better just because the year changes.
I know. I love it when, I mean, I don't love it, but I can't believe how many people personalize the world's tragedy as their own. It's like, man, this year sucks for me. Prince died, and remember, like that year when Prince died, there were so many.
That's the
this
whole
year
thing.
Sucks
Fuck
for me.
This year, yeah. It's like no. It's only going to get worse. Only more people are going to die. Like, you just are conscious of the people who are dying now, you know?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. All of my favorite actors died. I don't... What am I supposed to do?
Find new favorite actors?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make light of that, but I'm, you know... Every time I see
but there's
that.
Nothing to make light of. It's people die. People die. You're just now conscious of it because now you're older, you know?
And I'm like, oh, maybe if you thought that they were going to die, you might have direct messaged them on Instagram. Ha, 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 ha.
You would have bought their music rather than BitTorrenting
then
it.
Then stole it, yeah.
Or gone and see their comedy show.
That was my biggest gripe about the, like, oh, man, I can't believe they took the Tonight Show away from Conan and gave it back to Jay. It's like, well, shit, if you were watching it, they probably wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to support people that you want to support, not complain about the lack of support later.
Yeah.
So the days are all melding together for you?
Yeah, I mean.
100%, dude.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this actually.
Oh, I love it. I love it because I'm like, I feel like I have less time than when I'm working because I'm like, I know we're busy watching Moose a lot of the day, whatever, but it's just like, I feel like everything needs to get done and it's forcing me to like do too many things.
Yeah. Yeah. In my case, I feel like it's like the whole rat race just stopped. Which gives me like an opportunity to like stop and slow down myself because I'm just such a workaholic. I'm constantly doing stuff. And it's like that whole fear of missing out thing is gone. Not that I had it that much, but it was more of like I don't know what my pace of work was based on, but now that nobody's working and nobody's doing anything, I don't feel so bad. It's like the competition is gone and like we can all rest, you know? So that I'm using it as an opportunity to just like get some real rest and relaxation in. And, but it's still, that's something I struggle with because it gets me depressed, like having nothing to do.
Well, you know, I can help you with your depression, man. I got a couple things I need you to do.
Oh yeah.
See, my fear of missing out is worse because I got so tired of like doing the Zoom thing that I just like stopped checking in on all the regular Zooms. And then I'll hear like, oh yeah, we played Werewolf the other night. And I'll be like, fuck, man, I was just sitting around doing the same shit that I've been doing constantly.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, totally. We had a, I had a high school group that, like, you know, we were, we're still good enough friends to just like still be great friends, even though half of them are Trump supporters. It's weird. Yeah. Anyways,
even now.
Yeah, dude, I know. It was, we were all excited. Like, let's do this every week. We'll fucking drink every week and get on the Zoom. And then it just stopped, and no one's like, should we do this again?
Yeah. I feel like in the very beginning, like in March, April, early April, people were like all excited about getting together. And I got invited to a few things, and then it's like, now it's just dropped off. I have Zoom meetings every day, and now it's becoming more like a business, meetings, and everybody's just like talking without doing anything, coming up with ideas that they want to make and not pulling the trigger. No green light, no money, nothing's going on. They're just all, it's just all talk and all meetings. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think that's the other thing too. There's this huge fatigue with like, oh, I've been on Zoom all day for work. Like the last thing I want to do is like stare at my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, there's nothing left to say. We've all said it. I don't need to stare at you while you look at the internet. Yeah.
Show off your cat.
Unless you're gonna background. Yeah. Unless you're gonna play a game or something, it's just pointless. Yeah, dude.
Look at Wade is a cat right now. Look at him. Oh, he's a cat.
Yeah.
That was like a month of Zoom. Oh.
Well, okay. So I mean, should we just get into the topic then?
Yeah.
All right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, metamaterials or beyond materials. What the fuck is our future going to be? This is crazy shit. This is us moving into the next generation of technology. These ideas come from alien craft. Maybe we'll find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Wait, so what are these? What did you call them?
Metamaterials.
What is it?
Alien elements, right? Elements that are not of this world.
Well, that's how they describe them. So basically what science has pushed us to is you can take something and alter the something in such a way.
The electron count, probably.
That it's the physical characteristics of it are not stuck to the physical properties of the element or whatever it is, you know, like, I mean, basically one idea is that, I mean, this is a stupid bad parallel, but it's like the GMO version of matter. Yeah. Where it's like, you can modify something so that,
like designer metals or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But in such a way that it makes me see how some UFOs and alien technology works. Because you can take, so let's say you have some water. This is a bad example, but we'll just start with water. I mean, because they always try to show you visual representations of what they're trying to say. And it's always with the water where it's like, you can take the water and affect it on the microscopic level to where instead of, because the way that we see things, light hits something, it bounces off, and the way it bounces off is what we see.
Spectrum.
Or yeah. And, yeah, you're right. And that's just talking, yeah, that's just talking visual.
Right.
So you can affect that on at that microscopic level so that maybe the light doesn't even bounce off of it. And so one of the biggest
things. So you're telling me that I could take a glass of water and when I look at it, it's a hot woman?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what the example that they always use is when you look into a glass of water and you see a straw, the light is bent in such a way because it went through the water that the straw doesn't line up with the refracted light of the straw, you know? So you put a straw in the water. You see the straw, and then when it hits the water, the straw is like over here, right?
Yeah.
And so now they're basically, you can like reverse the refraction of that light so the straw looks like it's coming out the other side. And I know that's just a water. They use water as a visual representation, but they actually have, in the 90s, there was this company that made this paint, and they didn't even understand how it worked. Marconi Materials Tech. They had a carbon-based coating that when you painted something with it, it made it nearly invisible to radar. And it's because it affected it on that level to where the radar, the way radar works is it sends out these blips, right? And then whatever, however it bounces back, that's how you see things on radar. This thing would absorb all the radar blips. And so nothing would get sent back. So they, you know, and it's all about wavelengths and how small you can do things.
Right. It's like, I guess it's like rose colored glasses. Like the whole point of them was so you don't see the blood, right? So the idea was that you put little rose colored, like red lensed glasses on a chicken so that they don't see that their friends are being slaughtered. So they don't see the wavelength of red. It's like a filter. Like if you're a photographer and you put a little red filter on the lens, it filters out everything but the red. So all the way, so you almost see the world differently in that sense.
The only filters I know of are Instagram filters. Am I right?
Hey, Wade is a talking cat. Was that Tom? Is that what it's called? Anyways, so. They are able to affect materials on this microscopic level that changes, that alters the perceptive physicalness and the properties of things. And
yeah, so, yeah, I mean, you're describing it such a mystical way. I've never heard of it described.
I'm just trying to. One thing that they were, one perfectly great application they're talking about is glasses. Uh-huh. So you could have glasses that didn't have a bend to them and was as thin as a piece of paper, because you would affect the way that the light bounced through that glass, even though it was straight, instead of bending the glass.
Okay.
We'll get into the crazy stuff, but what beyond materials, metamaterials now are when they can alter the physical perception or characteristics of anything. So you could take the thing that everybody's going crazy over is making something invisible. Now, I remember watching, this happened in the 90s. I remember watching an old video about how the military was like coming up with camouflage.
Right.
And the camouflage just made them look invisible because you actually didn't see them. You saw through them.
Right.
And I didn't comprehend it back then, but I'm like, this is what they were talking about. This has been around since the 90s.
Yeah. I think that's like the ultimate goal with metamaterials is to create camouflage and a few other things.
But the biggest one. You could make anything invisible so that people could not actually see it at all. They could walk all the way up to it and not see it. And that is mind boggling. To make anything invisible, and it's because they altered the way the light bounced off of it to where you actually just kind of blurs the light that you see from behind it.
Right. What is a metamaterial? What do you consider a metamaterial? Is it on the periodic table?
Oh, it's not specific. It's when you affect something. It's not an actual thing that exists until you affect it.
See, I'm confused. I didn't think of it. I didn't know about this interpretation of what a metamaterial was. I always assumed that a metamaterial was like an element that's not naturally occurring on Earth and also cannot be made hasn't been made yet.
So this is where we're going with this.
Okay, as an example, like helium a long time ago was thought to have been a metamaterial until it was created by splitting, I forgot what element, splitting an element into helium elements because it's so light that it escapes the atmosphere instantly. So it's like if it is naturally occurring, it's like it's hard to find because it's just gone automatically.
Well, so let me just read the definition of metamaterials real quick, and then we'll get into why this is even a topic tonight It's not because of this definition. I just wanted to get this straight. It's from the Greek or word beyond, Latin word materia, matter. Material engineered to have a property that is not found in naturally occurring materials. They're made from assemblies of multiple elements fashioned from composite materials such as metals and plastics. Mm-hmm. They're usually arranged in repeating patterns at scales that are smaller than the wavelengths of the phenomena they influence. I know this is all jargon, like, but basically,
time, it makes sense to me.
But so here's the thing. This is kind of in the talking spotlight of recent because there are people that have claimed to have metamaterials that people think are otherworldly.
Right.
And so two people in particular.
Yeah.
Tom DeLonge from To the Stars Academy, Blink 182. He purchased
and
some
Venom.
What? Did he do the soundtrack or something?
No, Venom, man. He's like, what is that thing?
He's space evil, yeah.
He's a metamaterial. He's a symbiote, which is a metamaterial. I'm sorry, what did Tom DeLonge do?
He bought some metamaterial from somebody for like $30,000. I mean, and basically,
he should probably hang on to his money.
He claims. And so the idea is that was like a piece of a UFO craft.
Tom DeLonge's spending money like there's going to be a new Blink 182 album or something.
Well, you know, it's funny. He can spend money like a new one's coming out because they're still getting paid. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they got a government contract, his company.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, like, but I'm saying that contract. like if he did nothing this year, he'd still be a millionaire, right, from Blink 182 money.
I feel like those residuals are drying out, man. That's a lot of the musicians are freaking out right now because they can't tour. I know he hasn't like really been in that boat for a while, but
their residuals come from radio stations playing them and the advertising that played during that hour, right?
I don't know. I feel like that's all getting changed. Like the whole Spotify thing, it's all, no one's buying physical albums anymore.
Yeah, everybody's screwed. If you're a musician, you don't make money unless you tour.
Yeah, that's why.
And stuff.
Yeah, that's why all these shitty, shitty, shitty 80s bands are coming back.
Touring,
like, yeah. I'm like, listen, I love Def Leppard, but
ugh,
dude, don't. I know that they're not good.
What's wrong with Def Leppard?
Well, I'm just saying all the hair metal bands from the 80s, like,
you should say that about like the Fat Boys or something. The Fat Boys were always garbage.
I love the Fat Boys. Dude, I like the Fat Boys better
than
the
joke band, though, I thought.
No, I mean, just because you're funny doesn't mean you're a joke band.
Oh, okay. Like Tenacious D, right?
I thought the Fat Boys were like legit.
No, they're like the Monkees.
Were they?
No, they're
a parody band like the Monkees.
They got to be a little bit more legit than the Monkees,
dude. Because if the Monkees could beatbox, I mean that's you know what I mean. Like, they could make music without being funny,
right? In the '80s,
I just remember that they're always on the beach and they're always sinking into the sand because of how fat they were.
I love I love the Fat Boys so much, dude.
They had to have.
They should probably
cast those roles, right? Like you don't.
They should probably just avoid the beach.
Yeah.
Did you guys?
They put that band together, right? Like, it's not like they cast. Like, are you fat enough?
I don't think so because one guy wasn't fat.
Dudes that were friends and making music.
Well, there was only really the two Fat Boys and then the DJ.
Oh, I didn't know.
If that. I'm remembering correctly,
yeah, one guy wasn't fat at all.
Trio.
I felt like he had to gain weight.
Listen, man, you to be in this band, you gotta.
No, see, these
night.
Guys are legit.
Yeah,
they were originally known as Disco 3.
Oh, great name.
Yeah, the whole beatboxing thing. I'm trying to skim their Wikipedia real quick. No, they were like just a legit band, and then I think because they were called the Fat Boys and stuff, they leaned into the comedy of
they. After Disorderlies and like their last album was crushing. I mean, the last one that I got, that was like a straight up joke album. And they did a parody of Beach Boys.
Yeah. Beach Boys parody
before
right?
that, dude, they were, you know, that like when Run DMC and Beastie Boys came out, I mean, I know that they all came out at different times, but they entered my life after Fat Boys. And I was like, I don't know, man, Fat Boys is way better.
Yeah.
Because, I always thought Fat Boys was corny.
But before Disorderlies, before the Beach Boys shit, like, I mean, they weren't trying to be funny. They were just funny naturally.
No, but they were corny, though. And I'll say the same thing about fucking License to Ill. Fight for Your Right to Party is a fucking corny song.
Oh, yeah. Like when they came out, I was like, man, Run DMC is going to be way better than these guys. Anyway.
Well, but that still holds true, doesn't it? Isn't Run DMC? I would say Run DMC is better than Beastie Boys.
But Beastie Boys got to a lot. Like Run DMC, I'll take away the Aerosmith song that they did with them, you know, and like most people don't know who they are.
My Adidas, man. Like
But they existed for so small though. Like Beastie Boys lasted like three generations.
Yeah, because they're white.
The other guy that's maybe had some meta materials was Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
Keep bringing him up. He's the guy that whistle blew Area 51. He's in a documentary recently where the director is one of the featured stars. I'm always going to talk about that guy.
Like, that was the worst documentary.
Yeah, dude.
That guy was such an ego whore. Like,
yeah.
He just wanted to be on camera. I feel like he just made that documentary to make himself famous.
Yeah.
The whole documentary is just him on the phone.
Yeah.
The whole
thing. With Bob. Like, Bob's getting raided right now because of my documentary. I'm like, no, it's because he has, like, legit stuff.
Right.
Anyways, so Bob supposedly had some meta materials that he bragged about him at some point.
In the 80s, right? He bragged about it a long time ago?
Element 115.
Right.
He talked about how these crafts ran on Element 115 when Element 115 basically didn't exist on Earth.
Right.
Are we talking, is that atomic number? Is that?
Yeah.
It's 115 okay. electrons, I believe is what it means.
Protons, right? The when it comes to atomic number, it's your proton count. Okay. The electrons generally match it, but the isotopes of the electrons is varying versions of it. Anyway, sorry. They can make it, but it doesn't exist naturally on Earth. But supposedly he had some. And he bragged about having it for a little bit. And so but element 115 is one of those meta materials where it's like this thing, whatever this is, you know, it wasn't. So there's a little weird discrepancy in definition because it's like, you know, this wasn't made here. The characteristics are weird, but it also wasn't genetically created. Well, whatever, genetically, whatever. So anyways, naturally. Yeah, naturally.
So he claimed that he worked with element 115, which is an element that was never known to the scientific community back then.
Yeah.
And only recently did they discover an element 115. In fact, they've discovered all the isotopes around that 115, 116, 117, all the way to 119 or something. And they were able to
create that. I think 118 is what I just read.
They were able to create that in a lab. Like, so they using like an electron, what is it? Or a particle.
Particle accelerator.
But
don't they create these things and then they exist for like a second and then just like dematerialize or whatever. And then they're like, okay, we did it. That counts.
Right. So the example of what scientists were able to create as an element 115 disappeared instantly. But these two people claim that they have a stable version.
Yeah.
Version that has not that doesn't have a half-life as fast as the ones that were created in the lab. So
I bet Tom DeLonge is just a geode.
So the reason why this all is like popular is because of these same articles that we keep bringing up. In 2017, the New York Times there was a New York Times article where they
about the warehouse
where they were and they were talking. They had footage from a Navy FA-18 Super Hornet showing an aircraft surrounded by some kind of glowing aura traveling at high speed and rotating it as it moves. It's the footage you've seen.
This is from the To the Stars guys released.
Yeah.
Footage, right?
And so when in this article, when they're interviewing the guy, I'm just going to quote this. This is this guy, Harold Putoff. He's an engineer who conducted research on extrasensory perception for the CIA and later worked as a contractor for the program. These are his quotes. "We're sort of in the position of what would happen if you gave Leonardo da Vinci a garage door opener." And he also says, first of all, he'd try to figure out what is this plastic stuff. He wouldn't know anything about the electromagnetic signals involved or its function. So what he's trying to parallel is like, hey, we, because they claim that they had craft or material recovered that was other, that was described as otherworldly. And so now that everybody's, you know, talking about metamaterials, we go back to this article and look at it. And you know, he says, fuck, man, if you gave Leonardo a garage door opener, he wouldn't know about the electromagnetic fields in it. So he's like, you have the smartest people in the world looking at something that's way smarter than them.
Right.
That's what he was trying to parallel. And I mean, that's a shocking claim that like kind of got brushed over maybe because it was in this shitty article, you know, whatever. Or, right. You know, like when you look at the videos, well,
is
that
this
they
guy
released,
legit?
Oh yeah. Yeah. When you look at the it's P-U-T-H-O-F-F. When you look at the videos that they showed, that they released in correspondence with what these guys were talking about, you just see something floating through the sky. When you look at what these guys describe this craft doing, they don't show you that video. That wasn't released. I'm just saying, like, this whole time you have these expert witnesses going like, what the fuck is this? This is crazy. I've never seen
these like jet pilots, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That are talking about an object that flies around like nothing they've ever seen before.
And they're like oh, there was
impossible for a jet or
yeah. And there was a fleet surrounding them and there was glowing light. Well, they don't show you that video, but if I say that they released the simple video just so that as a passerby who doesn't give a shit about this stuff, who doesn't believe in this stuff, when you look at it and you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's not a UFO. And then it just dies there. You've debunked it yourself without ever looking at it again. But if you listen to their expert witness testimony, they describe these crafts doing things that we cannot do.
You're talking about Harold Puthoff? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Scientologist. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, he's a Scientologist. He reached OT level 7
in
1971.
Man. That's depressing.
That doesn't make him. Yeah, that doesn't make him.
Yeah, it's just depressing. Because it's like, yeah. It's like I would say, yeah, well, Tom Cruise is still one of the greatest actors ever. I just don't want to talk to him.
Okay, so
I was thinking about that. Like, if I cast Giovanni Ribisi, if I like sold a show and then I cast Giovanni Ribisi, it would suck, right? You'd be like, oh man, like,
do you feel like
I
want
to talk to this guy about Scientology, but he's probably like a weirdo.
If you cast him, I mean, like, I feel like he would. I don't know anything, and I'm speculating, and I'm stupid. I just assume that they would. Okay, listen. When you join SAG,
You're saying he's going to, like, just try to get everybody to join Scientology on the entire production?
Oh, no. Like, not trying to get you to join.
They usually have, like, a little tent, a Scientology tent on productions like that.
I'm like, I feel like they'd try to get more in. Like, when
Don't they just make sure that it's, like, kosher with them if you cast one of their guys?
I don't know. I mean,
they, like, make sure that, like, Tom Cruise doesn't have a death scene or something.
Well, like, okay, so, like, when I worked on, what the fuck was that movie called? Collateral. I didn't feel any Scientology presence at all, but.
Who was on that?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay.
But there was, his bus had a fence around it. like a do not look in privatized fence around it. So like, I don't know what happened.
They didn't have like a recruitment tent or anything.
What's that?
They didn't have like a recruitment tent.
I've heard that story before.
Not, I mean, I never saw anything. I worked on 20 nights out of 60 nights on it. And
well, I mean, you know, like Jason Lee. So we went and saw Jason Lee talk when we were fresh to LA and didn't realize it was a Scientology thing. And like, he just did not seem into it at all. Like, he almost seemed like he was just doing them a favor because he was almost like born into it. Not born into it, but like he was friends with the Ribisi family or whatever and just kind of
joined. He was in and out. Yeah.
It's like Beck, where he doesn't want to talk about it, but his whole family.
Yeah. And like, you know that like on My Name Is Earl, there's not like a Scientology tent, right? I mean, hasn't JD like worked with Jason Lee and yeah. like, he just came and did a yacht rock or whatever. And so I don't know. I don't know. I've never met a real Scientologist.
So does that make you not believe this guy now because he knows he's a Scientologist?
Oh, no. I mean,
apparently I'm reading now. Apparently he was duped by Uri Geller. Do you know who that is?
Oh, what do you mean duped?
Yeah, he believed he had real powers.
Wade, we've talked about Uri before. He's the guy who, it's great because Carson was responsible for basically debunking him. He was a guy who
I thought it was the Amazing Randy that debunked him.
Well, it was the Amazing Randy, but it was all on.
It was on the Carson show.
It was on the Carson show. Yeah. Cause this guy was like, hey man, I can turn these yellow pages with my mind.
Right.
Yeah, he would blow on him or whatever. I've seen that.
Yeah, he blew on him.
Oh, I love it.
And so like, I think
dude, Carson is Carson is a hero for that, man. Otherwise it would still probably exist, you know?
Right.
Anyways, but
he believed him. He believed he had real powers. Apparently the whatever scientific gear that they were using to test his powers, Uri was using like sleight of hand to like get around the detectors. So he was just a magician that was using his magician tricks to fool.
Dude, you know what's crazy? That's so weird is because so he's just a sleight of hand, like sort of con man who his con was like, oh yeah, no, I have like these special powers. I just watched Sneaky Pete. Which stars Giovanni Ribisi, and that's the whole thing. It's just like conning people into believing, into getting them to believe that like you have these powers or whatever.
Is that his name in the show, or that what people refer to him as?
Sneaky Pete.
I mean, it's a horrible title, but like his name is Pete. Well, his name is something else. He's posing as this guy named Pete.
Okay.
And the title of the show. Good. Is Sneaky good. Pete.
I was just like, man, if you're Sneaky Pete, you're not getting away with nothing.
So wait, did you know that Bryan Cranston created that show?
No.
Oh shit. It's a show or a movie? I thought it was a movie.
No, it's a three seasons long Amazon. It was like one of the first Amazon Prime series.
That's cool. I like Bryan Cranston's one of those guys where I'm like, dude, I hope he gets everything. He's just a cool guy.
I have thoughts on Bryan Cranston, man. Like I think he's like really not that good of an actor, and he's sort of slowly getting.
He had the world kind of against him, you know. And I only say that being like, here he is, this wacky dad. He's sure he had parts before that. He's a wacky dad, just landed a really great part that he shined in. And now he gets to do other things. And I'm glad that he's more creative than not that you're anything less if you're just an actor, because acting is hard, but I love that he's creating.
Well, he created one thing. I don't know. Who knows if he's still doing any, like, I just think like he's not that great and he's not going to get a lot of parts anymore because he fucked it up and he started doing a bunch of comedies.
Well, he was doing, well, yeah, I know.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, you did comedies. You got Breaking Bad. Now everybody loves you. And then he goes and does some slapsticky thing with James Franco. It's like, what?
Why? I know. Choices. I know.
So you were talking about this guy Puthoff, right? So,
well, yeah, this was just a quote from this New York Times article, but just saying that, like, so the idea is that people had some, well, okay, I'm going to go sideways on topic.
And he works with Tom DeLonge.
Yeah. Right? He co-founded To the Stars.
To the Stars came out because these people collected so many things, you know, and they were about to release all this stuff and nobody could stop them. And so these other entities released the stuff first so that they had control of what was released. That's why I say when they show this video, it's like, yeah, they showed you an orb rotating in the sky instead of.
They're the whole point of them is they're trying to disclose this stuff. Why would they hold that back?
Well, I'm sure that they've released a little bit more. I'm just saying the official release came from, you know, they took the Pentagon footage and the Pentagon was like, here's what you get. Here's your AP footage. Whereas so the Stars would have showed so much more.
Pentagon gave them the footage to release on their own. That's what I don't understand. Where did they get this footage from?
They got some of the, I mean, the idea is, so like one of the footage from the Nimitz, right?
Yeah.
I mean, supposedly people came on board and wiped the hard drives, but other people say, no, nobody came on board. So some of the footage they got was basically stolen illegally from the aircraft, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's why that's not released, because it's still so top secret. That it's like, well, yeah, you'll get in trouble for that. So, but the Pentagon came out and released their declassified footage, which is so short that it doesn't show anything that makes you go like, oh, this is crazy. So I still think that they have other footage that they want to release, but they haven't yet because it's illegal to do that.
Pentagon or
To the Stars? No, To the Stars.
Yeah. I think if they have any other footage, they're like releasing it on a timetable that keeps them relevant.
Yeah.
Because I read about To the Stars, and they're kind of an entertainment company as well. Like, well, they're a science company, but they're also very much an entertainment company.
Yeah, my personal thing is I think that they are being influenced without them knowing to push the narrative that makes us afraid of UFOs.
It's like an outlet for them to push misinformation.
They're getting misinformation and being like, yeah, man, we can't defend against this, instead of, well, they're not hurting us, so like, we should trust them. It's more like, man, we can't defend against this. This is why they don't want you to see it, which makes in your head go like, yeah, we should spend more money on defense. Like, fuck, man. If this is real, we got to have nukes in space.
I guess. I mean, it's not like we have a choice over how they fucking, the defense budget is crazy anyway. It's not like we vote on that every year.
No, but like, if most of America is afraid of something from space, you know, to me, the space program parallels the military that's going into space.
Yeah, I think there's clearly some propaganda going on here. Why would they? I mean, from what my understanding is that To the Stars released some video, and then the Navy was like, well, if that's out, let's release it fully, right?
Well, the difference is that they knew that they were going to release it publicly, even though they kind of put it out there, and so then they made it official just to get, and then when I say to get ahead of it, it's like, well, yeah, that's exactly what they did. They
didn't want it released.
No,
like,
they didn't.
That's why I don't understand why it would be used as a propaganda to like create a space force or whatever, nukes in space or whatever. Like, I understand that portion of like, look at this threat, we need to guard against this threat, let's release some propaganda to make it so that the general public is behind this operation of
they were never going to release any footage, but because To the Stars got some and they had people on board with them,
right,
then they were like, okay,
which To the Stars is packed with like ex like military, ex CIA people, like all kinds of talent in this field, right?
And listen, their heart's in the right place. They're just afraid for the wrong reasons. as lame as I sound.
I still think it's like it's ginning it up a little bit too because for the entertainment. This is an entertainment company that employs scientists.
I buy that too. I do buy that too. Like, I don't take them as I like that they're pushing the narrative, but I also am like, you're getting, people are giving you stuff because of who you are.
Right. Well, so they own Metamaterials is what you're saying. They claim to own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Metamaterials. Just like Bob Lazar claimed to own Element 115. It's some, like, he stole it from the lab.
And so this guy, so let me read this a little bit more from, there's a guy who, there was this UFO conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't say these things are, these are a meeting of minds of people that are outside of the norm. You know, I only say that because, okay, so there's this guy, Alejandro Rojas. He's the host of the UFO Congress. He said Mr. Elizondo, who's the guy who released the stuff from the Nimitz stuff,
right,
told him more about the metal during the exclusive interviews that were screened at the event. And he said, I can tell you it's not the alloy like the New York Times claims. So, I mean, you know, this is all hearsay, bullshit, whatever. But obviously, the New York Times article and anything that was AP press released, I think, is just pushing the narrative like, you know, yeah, you know, we have this weird alloy. It doesn't act like anything on Earth, instead of like, oh, no. Like, this is not from Earth. But nobody can legally say that, you know? It's like, this is a bad parallel, but all these masks that say, hey, it's not going to stop you from getting COVID. I'm like, yeah, we all know that. You have to say that because of the lawyers. The mask is meant for you to stop spreading it to other people. It's not to stop it from getting into you. And so, you know, it's the same way a condom can't be 100% accurate because everyone's going to get sued. So when you take an AP released article, every safety precaution is in there. Hey, this weird alloy doesn't look like it doesn't look like anything on Earth, instead of like, no, this is not from Earth. We do not have this technology, you know, just saying, like,
well, we do though. Like, the Russians created Element 115.
Well, yeah. Well,
but Bob Lazar claims that that's not the same thing.
Well, here's the thing. So here's a take that Bob was on, you know, he's been on, he was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he was talking about when he worked at Area 51.
He didn't work there. He worked at S4.
He went, S4
is a few miles away from Area 51.
But Area 51 is the whole complex. It's a few miles, but it's a part of the same complex. It's like saying, like, would you, well, I don't know. I can't think of good parallels, but
Area 51 is like what we call it. Like, not, that's not what they call it. That's what, for some reason, what yeah, we call it.
I mean,
Epcot S4. Center is not a part of Disney World. Okay.
Is it not?
Is it not? It's, no, like, I'm Star Wars Land point. Is not. Like, so Tomorrowland inside Disneyland.
I just don't I don't understand Disney World. Because I've never been there. I don't get it.
Epcot Center is like the California Adventure. It's a separate park.
Yeah. There's like four parks there, and I never knew that. He was hired to, according to him, reverse engineer alien crafts.
According to him, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which, and I feel like if you see him talk now, he's very iffy about what he used to claim.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As he's, if more, he was like under a lot of drugs back then or something, or like he didn't perceive it.
But if you look at he is a genius rocket scientist.
Right. Didn't he used to make rockets? Like,
yeah, dude. Yeah, like, I mean, he
like make rocket cars or something.
So in this podcast interview with Joe Rogan, he's like, you know, I don't give a fuck about aliens. I don't give a fuck about UFOs, whatever. I care about the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how scientists like him that were working on projects the idea is that they have alien technology, and it's so far advanced that all they can do is take all of the science that they have currently, work on stuff, try to figure stuff out, and then they get a roadblock because the technology is so far advanced that that's all they can do. So then that, whatever they're working on, gets put away for 8 years. And then 8 years later, they open it back up. Maybe they have the same scientists. Maybe they have new ones. They try to crack the code a little bit more. And then, you know, and I'm like, wow, that makes so much sense. And that is how they would do it. Because at some point, you're not just going to figure something out. And why would you keep working on it if everybody you have has exhausted everything they can on something? And so I'm just saying why I lean more towards the credibility of him, because he's like, yeah, this is the metamaterial. He's talking about the metamaterials that they had and that, like, they couldn't figure it out. And now that science of now is on board with metamaterials, we can work with this stuff now. And so, I've always subscribed to the idea that half of the UFOs that I've seen are either space junk or secret military trying out these crafts, because the technology of metamaterials is now public and we know what they're capable of doing, which to me says that they're already doing all this stuff. I saw this invisibility cloak stuff back in the 90s when I don't know what I believed back then, but now I'm like, oh, picture making anything invisible. If you had a craft and you wanted to have an explosion go off in Beirut.
Oh my God.
I know. It's a bad parallel. There's a lot of videos out there of people being like, listen, can you hear the jets? People
oh, really?
Well, you know, I don't know if I believe it or not. I'm listening. They're like, listen, you can hear the jets before the explosion.
No, don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just saying that, like, I don't want to say either way before anything, like, oh, I don't believe it, or I do believe it, you know, whatever. I'm just looking.
If this whole thing is about being invisible, they're doing a really bad job, since you see like 3 or 4 UFOs a night. Let's take a quick break.
Word.
All right, we'll come back. We're talking about metamaterials.
Yeah.
What's the AKA?
Beyond materials.
Beyond materials. Beyond materials.
Really Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister, are you from the future?
Yeah. I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me. I'm trying to save you, dumbass!
Grandpa from the future.
Whose grandpa are you?
I'm everybody's grandpa.
Grandpa from the future. This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend Sevan Jarian about beyond metals, or metametals if you're boring, or elements, metals, beyond
materials.
Metamaterials. Yeah. So what's the latest?
There was an interview with Elizondo. His quote is, the question is, do they come from outer space or inner space or somewhere in between? I don't know.
I got something. Okay. So Roswell, right? The Roswell crash happened in 1947.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard this before, but I'm looking at like the history of technological advancements. 1947, we created the transistor. So I think it was almost like it was claimed that because of Roswell, we reverse engineered their technology and made transistors and created computers because of the Roswell crash. Like we created.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like fiber optics, the circuitry of a motherboard, lasers, you know. Yeah.
Batteries even.
So and also later that same year, the CIA was started because it was like, oh, fuck, man, this is serious. We got to keep secret. Like, you guys all fucked up. The newspaper got all your – you guys were talking to the newspaper? After all this stuff, like, it's crazy that it's getting more crazy, right?
That was the year that they created, 1947. That's weird.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think that's the craziest thing. Like, it does seem like something that the federal government would say, like, oh shit, we need to like be in the know on this stuff, you know?
Yeah,
it seems that's.
Yeah,
like it's, I don't think it's nefarious.
Oh,
I
no
think
no
it's
no
more
no
like.
I mean, it's on par whether aliens exist or not and the crash was real or not. It's just like, hey, man, let's say it didn't. Like, that was a fiasco. People think aliens are real now because you guys, like, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
Which is not.
Now we got,
that's not
now
the
we got Orson Welles freaking us out on the radio and shit.
A lot of the UFO footage, a lot of the UFOs I've seen, like, just when I think about it, it's like, you know, an orb of light. Like, why is there light? And I'm like, well, no matter what technology you have, this is me speculating, but I'm like, you can't hide the shift, the glow of a phase shift if phase shifting makes you glow. I'm just saying whatever we see is like not a craft. I feel like it's like remnants of it in another dimension doing whatever it's doing, possibly.
There's other explanations, though, like orb of light just means reflecting the sun.
Oh, yeah. I'm being very specific, but also trying to be broad. But I'm just saying that, like, when I picture Star Trek and I picture the technologies they have, right? And even in Star Trek 4, when they talk about making metamaterials when they're in San Francisco and they're like, oh, how are you going to hold a whale on a starship? And like, oh, well, you know, we'll just make some glass, transparent aluminum is what they make. I'm like, oh, that's great. Oh,
okay. So that's your metamaterial like example from sci-fi.
Well, no, I'm just, so like, that's me going like in shows or whatever. Like if we were a species that traveled like Star Trek does, and you didn't want somebody to see you, sure. They have cloaking device, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have the technology to create a cloaking device. We can affect the material so that you don't see the light reflecting on our ship.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you talking about radar or are you talking about visible?
You're getting scratchy. Reflection. Specifically, both. We have the technology for both.
Like, we definitely do for the...
We definitely do for the stealth, because, like, that's... That material that you started talking about that would impair radar...
Stealth is different, though. That's like, how do you build angles to a ship to reflect radar?
But that,
I thought they painted the underside of it with that.
They painted the whole thing, both sides, top and bottom. It's the angles and the paint. The paint is what really stops the wavelength of the radar blip coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also talking about visual, light.
Well, that's the crazy, scary thing is we know how to do it. How to make something invisible, and people are going to start doing it now, which means that I think the military has had that technology for a long time. Like I said, in the 90s, I watched a documentary about this. They didn't use this word, but this is what they were talking about. It's like, you don't see me because the light is bending around me so that you see the light behind me. So
like Predator.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what they were talking about. They've had this technology for a long time.
Yeah, but
Like reverse engineered from aliens is what you're saying. You think that's what...
Whether it's reverse engineered from aliens or not, I believe that it is. But like that's not important whether it is or isn't. What's important is that we have the capabilities of that. And if you, and so if you would imagine that the military has had this capability for 20 years, what have they done?
But I think like it definitely has to be cost prohibitive, right? Because like why did they go get Osama in the middle of the night? Like, why don't they just put it on every fucking soldier that's in the middle of the desert?
Right.
You know, it must be like super expensive or something. It doesn't seem practical.
Or the half-life, it disappears so quick that it's like they have like an hour to use it or something.
Here's the narrative that I have is that if I had invisibility, I wouldn't let anybody know because then nobody could assume it was ever you. As soon as they know you have invisibility, this fucking thing happened. You fuckers. I know you guys can be invisible. You know, so it's like you just don't tell anybody. It's easy to keep military people from not spilling the beans because even when they do, people don't believe them anyways, you know? So
how would you use it if you're in the military and you're like, we need to be invisible? On what mission would you use for that? Because right now we're largely not in any sort of covert that I'm aware of, like war, unless you want to talk about like information.
Well, yeah. Well,
I'm South America, and
yeah. I'm sure the spies that need to stay covert.
But that's sure. But that sounds ridiculous. That like spies are like wearing this shit, just like walking down the streets of France or something
to listen to people's conversations. Yeah.
But do you think that's actually happening? Because you can see the predator. I mean, like,
right.
And from what I remember of this technology from, you know, 30 years or whatever ago, you can see them if you're looking for them.
I think that this is a very pessimistic view, and I wish it weren't true, but I believe it so much that I can't even talk myself out of it. I believe that our government and a lot of governments have been ruled by money for so long that it doesn't matter who's in office. You can pay them enough to just look the other way, not learn something. And so the secret organizations that have gotten to be too big can easily be the only ones that know about this technology. Because, I mean, here's the thing. It would be great if helping humanity go technologically into the future as a species that like is a force for the universe were a possibility. The only way that would be possible is if it was profitable. And the only thing that is really profitable for the biggest conglomerates of conglomerates is war. And when I say war, I don't mean like you have to be in war. I can't even come up with good parallels because I'm fucking dumb.
Let me describe something for you. Okay, so there's something called active camouflage, which is
that's like fiber optics.
I don't know. Well, I mean, sure, I'm sure it's as complicated as that, but it's as easy as putting a camera behind you and an LCD screen in front of you. So you project basically what's behind you on a TV screen in front of you. So that's kind of gives you like the element of like invisibility, right? So I'm almost assuming that some metamaterials do that for you. Almost like they sense the environment and kind of create an image of the environment.
I mean,
that's just like octopuses, right?
Right, but those are more those are solid elements of using light or just like color. An octopus will change its color to match the background. That's not necessarily matching
changing your detail. Perception of the color. Right.
The depth, the detail, the objects that are in the background in
3D. I've seen some pretty fucking creepy octopuses, man, and they can make themselves look like rocks and shit.
Right.
But the idea, and they change their texture too, yeah. But one idea is like picture when you throw a rock into a pond and there's ripples sent out in all directions. With metamaterials, you can make it so that
the ripples
go in reverse. So it's like you take all this light that they're seeing and then you focus it on one thing, and that one thing happens to be something that's behind you.
That's interesting to think about how the point of that is to appeal to an eyeball, right? So if there wasn't eyes to see it, what's the point of that evolution?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the point of an animal creating that evolution to create an illusion like that.
Yeah, because when you hear that sharks can sense electromagnetic fields, so it's like, oh, you can be hiding. It can't see you, but it knows you're there. So it's like sniffing around like, you'll get scared and you'll run because I'm going to sniff this whole area out. Right. So like it doesn't matter that it can't see you.
Right. It's similar to like radar where it's like if the signal bounces off an object,
yeah,
that comes back to the source. So what's the metamaterial absorbs those signals, absorbs the,
well, you can control light. And well, so here's the thing. When they say metamaterials now, it's not something that you find, it's something that has been affected. So you can take anything and make it a metamaterial. And so you can make anything work in a way that you want.
Oh, that's different than the scientific aspect of like this element has this atomic weight and therefore it's a metamaterial because it's it's kind of alien to our periodic table.
But the idea is that the word metamaterial just means anything that has been affected. So it's like anything by
that. Like your definition of metamaterial is something I've never, when I was trying to research this topic, that was not, I just didn't come across that.
Well, so for the Wikipedia, it says any material engineered to have property that is not found in naturally occurring materials. So it's like, right, the engineering can be naturally, but the engineering can be not naturally too.
Beyond, okay. Well, so that just means to me that like we have a periodic table of all the elements that occur naturally on Earth, but there's other elements that can be created. Like if you combine,
but it's not about
a couple of elements, you create a new element.
It's not about what the element is. It's about how the element is affected. So basically saying like you can make gold.
The properties of the element.
Yeah, yeah. You can make gold.
It's still an element though. It's still, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you can make gold glow green or you can make gold invisible.
But does that change the atomic structure of the material?
That's what they're saying. No, that's why this is so crazy. So you could, this is a bad parallel, but you could make some. There's this device. The best example that they had was there's this device, this machine that needed to be about the size of a football field. And it was only because that's how much of a material you needed to affect, to make it have that effect. By affecting something and then making it a metamaterial, they could have that same machine be the size of like a fingernail. That specifically because you didn't need all that material. Like let's say you had a magnet that weighed a pound, right?
Yeah.
And you needed a million pounds of that magnet. Well, that's because the way that that 1 pound magnet affected something, that's how much strength it had. You could take something as small as an atom and affect it so that it had the same physical property of a pound of magnet. So because you can affect the physical property. And so I'm just saying now they can get into the sci-fi world where it's like, instead of having a million pounds of the magnet to push this boat, they could have 1 pound of the magnet. And it's all about how the physical properties affect it.
Affect like light or
electromagnetic field, light,
how they react,
whatever,
to like,
whatever you want. Yeah. So you can make this thing affect gravity. I'm just saying like it's not about creating something. It's about changing the way the structure, the way that it works, but not changing it.
As if gold, like a gold spaceship, could absorb light or it blocks light. Or
yeah, yeah.
Or bends some, like bends waves in a way that you can't see it or something.
Or this material now, when it comes in contact with the electromagnetic field, doesn't act the way that you would expect it to. Like basically negating gravity. So if you could, these metamaterials, you could affect gravity waves. You could affect the way that this material works with a brainwave. I'm just saying, like, I believe that there was a brainwave signal sent out.
Yeah.
And they have the technology to affect materials so that they can send you messages into your brain if they send you the right brainwaves.
Huh. Advanced Wi-Fi.
The telepathic elements of aliens can be described by talking about metamaterials that have been affected to send out brainwaves. So it's not real telepathy. It's a technology.
It's not biological. It's a technology. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, this has blown my mind because this, I know that this is so hard to explain because it's a concept. It's not a material. It's not the way that you affect something. It's all of those things. And so
it explains how the Avengers can talk like during the middle of a battle when they're like a bunch of miles away from each other. And they can just have normal conversations and do a bunch of fun quips.
They speak under their breath and they can all hear each other still.
Yeah.
The science of science fiction is here.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. But I think, like, what is the Arthur C. Clarke's first law? What is it? It's any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable but from magic.
Yes. And
so, like, that kind of goes back to your first point of I forgot what your first point was. Well, but I know you mentioned it.
But the idea is everything that I've seen when it comes to alien encounters, it's like, oh shit, this is that technology. We're catching up to be able to understand how they're doing it, not what they're doing, but how.
Who are they?
Well, whatever those different aliens are that have landed here, that we've,
the kids.
There's different.
What about the kids? Like, that's Bob Lazar's terminology, is the kids.
Yeah, I mean, I believe there are different alien races visiting us, and that we have looked at some of their technology, and this is now, it's almost everyone's dumb enough to go like, well, they didn't come up with it. Well, I don't know. I mean, we're also dumb enough to be like, those smart people are doing whatever they do over there, instead of like going like, oh, there's no way that this leap was possible. Aliens are real.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm always getting tied up on that. It's like, if you can't explain something, the explanation is aliens. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like that either, but.
Cause that's like saying this is, I've never seen that before. It must be magic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well,
apparently that's the third law, not the first law of Arthur C. Clarke's laws.
So to me, though, this magic now is having a better definition that works for me. It's like, oh, no, it's just technology.
Yeah,
that we can't even contemplate. I can't even imagine what they can do. You know, I initially go to military because I'm like, well, they are funding this technology advancement. And so what is the military going to do with anything? All you can do is assassinate people.
Right. Or create super soldiers that are invisible.
But why would you create a super soldier? Well, yeah, you're right. If they're invisible. Yeah,
one super soldier is all you need for everything. So isn't that kind of the plot of
Bourne Identity?
I don't think you even need a super America. Soldier. Like, you don't need a super soldier anymore.
That's what I'm saying. No, you don't. Because corporations
now,
but corporations,
well, the whole thing
rule
is
the world
like the
more
people,
than
the people in charge already won. Like yeah. it's over. Like who?
Yeah, but there's still there's still people in charge that are against other people that are in charge. So they're fighting their wars.
You're right. You're right. I mean that, but that is the crazy thing is that like corporations rule America. America has a military presence. Both of these things are unstoppable. What are they doing? They're not sitting around doing nothing. They're creating work for themselves. It doesn't have to mean that they're killing everybody, but the work is false. I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting at. You know, I mean, I'm just saying that if this,
it's all just really hard for me to wrap my head around because like we've got like two billionaires who have more wealth than like 50% of the rest of the country.
Who? Soros it's, and
that's Bezos, Bezos and Bezos.
Bezos.
The couple
and so
of
it's
Bezos.
Like, and so it's like, who even gives a shit? Not to like shit on our entire podcast and like thinking about sci-fi shit, but like when you can just win by being a capitalist, why did no super soldier invisible dude like take over Amazon or something?
Right.
You know, like why was Amazon allowed to come up from the early 2000s to where they are now?
I feel like if these things exist, there would be different history. There would be different events in history that would point to it. That technology being
used. If you had the technology, the only way to be okay, this is just from the Cold War, you know? The only way for your enemy to not get it is to never give it to them. So you never tell the world that you have invisibility. And you always, you know, you always do what you do. As soon as they find out, the war's over because then they can invisible your ass.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know.
Well, the reason you don't give up invisibility is because you don't want a bunch of other creeps in the woman's locker room with you. You know, you want to be in there all by yourself.
You don't want the invisible world to be crowded. but I mean, this is the sad part about humanity is it will never be more profitable for any technology to help humanity because it will always lose to the military version of it.
But
because
that's like
they're the only people that have the money.
That's like the big depressing version of it. You know, like I would love for there to be a war of like these invisible armies. I think that sounds fun.
I just
don't believe it.
We need Elon Musk's. We need, but the problem is, you know, like if Jeff Bezos wanted to do something in space, you know, it sucks that there's only one Elon Musk and it happens to be Elon Musk.
Well, he did do stuff in space. He put his fucking car up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying that like,
and he's sending people to the station with his own rockets. Like,
yeah, I'm saying
that's not what Willie's saying. Willie's saying he needs some competition.
Oh,
But this is
capitalism though. Like
no. I'm saying not competition. It would be great if there were humanitarians that were competing with him. Like Batman was never trying to be the best. He was trying to help humanity. There will never be a Batman. You know what I mean?
That's what Elon Musk wants to be, right? He wants to be Batman.
Yeah, but he's just a regular person that has been corrupted by himself. You know,
he's not making money on SpaceX.
No. And he, you know, he had to sell the flamethrowers, and that's great. I'm just saying that, like, humanity. Well, whatever. It's weird to think about these billionaires, millionaires, but then to think about these companies. I'm just saying, like, they are running militaries, and
yeah, I mean, there's like Google is like basically a nation state on its own. Like a business is a nation state at this point. It can be.
That's kind of my whole thing. It's like, I don't know that we specifically have like nations fighting wars anymore. We have corporate interests sort of like lobbying against one another.
Yeah. It's like the whole thing that happened with,
but my point is like, is the military keeping this invisibility material away from those people, like, or who's in charge of that shit?
On the highest level, the answer is yes, because everyone. Well, I mean, you know, like I said, I watched a documentary about the lame version of metamaterials in like the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And the coolest version existed then too. And I don't know. I mean, like, there are a lot of whistleblowers coming out. Like, you know, not on the sure. There's not as many as big as Snowden, but there are constantly whistleblowers coming out talking about the secret projects that they're doing, because some of them, you eventually feel like you're betraying humanity, and you can get that feeling just from the corporationness of it. But when you're actually doing something, we're like, humanity would be better if they knew about this. You know, there are a lot of those whistleblowers, but who's finding them? Like, I'm not even finding them, and I'm looking for them. You know what I mean? Like,
whistleblowers. Well,
to the stars of the secret military shit. Yeah, yeah.
So the stars is supposed to be a whistleblower, but they're packaging it in like an entertainment form.
But that's the only way they can survive, because otherwise you're just lost as an old guy on his deathbed.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, because you're either that or you're interviewed as a crazy person who has stories about UFOs.
So what happens if we got, like, let's say we came up with something that was like a new nation state. Doesn't have to be a nation state. I'm just saying we could like get together and come up with a virtual nation state.
Yeah.
It would
be anonymous, isn't it?
A Zoom nation state.
We could get as valuable as Bitcoin, you know? And like, yeah. What happens when you create an online?
That just means you have power and influence, though. So how do you get power and influence as a virtual state? You have to control resources in some way.
Yeah. I've watched a few documentaries on people in other countries using their technology to really, on the simplest level, just win the country, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't work as much here because everybody's on board with,
like, provide electricity and nutrition, stuff like that.
Yeah.
On the simplest level.
Well, and
it's interesting that big companies can become as powerful. Like, I think powerful meaning how much they're worth, right? So like how much money they control, and how much influence they control. So Facebook on its own, it's like, it's almost like its own country, where they can dictate to the governments of the world, like what they want.
Picture the lame thing that happened this week where Trump was like, TikTok's gone in a month.
He said that?
Yeah. Well, he said by the end of the week, TikTok's going to be gone.
Why?
And because you know, a lot of these conspiracy theorists are saying that TikTok is...
Well, that's a Chinese company, right?
Yeah, and that they are taking all of your data to spy on America.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing with all of our shit. Yeah,
yeah.
But they're like ramping it up, and this was a big story in the conspiracy theory world, and then Trump came out and was like, TikTok's gone this week because it's like bullshit. While
popularity-wise or
regular? No.
Well, no, he banned it, right? Like, didn't he sign an executive order, or he was threatening?
That was part of the executive order?
Yeah, I mean, he was threatening,
and then Microsoft said that they would buy it. I mean,
that's what I'm getting at is, here we have governments mixing with corporations and affecting the outcome. And so it's like, were any strings pulled this weekend because Microsoft wanted to purchase TikTok? If Trump banned it, would the price go way down? I'm just saying, like, there is meddling going on that involves governments and militaries and corporations. And it's like, it can be as lame as raising the price of oats.
No, oh, wow. This that's is like- all. That's, we know all that, right? I mean, that's like, we're just used to that. Like, isn't that what living in fucking the current day is? It's us always getting fucked over by people with more money.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just saying, holy shit, that just happened, and it's huge right in front of our faces.
Trump is saying stuff like, these people are winning, it's China that's winning, so let's take that winning away from them. That's the idea around it, right? these technologies are like kind of warming into
that's the hopeful version of him. The bad version is he's just trying to get a different payout.
Well, I don't know if he reads up on shit. I think he just hears TikTok bad and goes, I'm going to ban TikTok.
TikTok China.
Yeah, bad. Yeah, totally.
But like, you know, I'll bet you to the stars or whatever the fuck they're called, like the second that they actually do anything, they can just get a payoff and they'll just turn and they're not going to fucking blow the whistle on anything.
Yeah. If you were Bruce Wayne, you wouldn't have to turn. Wouldn't have to take that money.
Well, that's the question: is Tom DeLonge Bruce Wayne? Does he have enough fuck you money, or would he like actually blow the whistle on some?
He has more like power with the people that he employed. I think he has like credibility because he's employed like credible people.
Yeah,
that's the only power he really has. He doesn't have money, but he also has a government contract to.
But he does have money, you know.
I'm sure he does because the government gave him a bunch of money. It's a government contract that allows them to investigate metamaterials with the government or for the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Willie, I think you're overestimating how much money Blink-182 has.
Like, no way. We have
a friend named Joe who's in Fall Out Boy, and like. I have an idea of how much money he has, and there's no way it's like, I'm going to take down the government money.
What's your idea?
No, I know. I'm just saying he doesn't need money. And
that's my whole question is it's like, does he have enough money, and do the people who work for him have enough money where they wouldn't be corrupted? If they actually came up on something and they were like, oh, we can blow the whistle off of this, would they? Or would they just take a payoff?
That answer is just hope, you know? And the thing is no matter how much hope you have, you're pretty stupid to not take the payoff because they're going to get you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if the question is you can have $100 million or we'll kill you.
It's like, hey, man, hey, you can take the money and shut the fuck up, or you could commit suicide next week. You know, like, we don't care because it's not actually our money. I'm just a pusher.
What if we wanted to create something that gets government money like that? Like, what? Like, how do we do that? Like, how do we become Tom DeLonge and like get the government's
interest? The only way that he has gotten it is because of the credible people with him.
Right. So you got to hire a bunch of ex-military, ex-CIA, ex-scientists.
No, I mean, you can also just be a huge fraud. I mean, with all this coronavirus money that they've been throwing out, there's like so many frauds who just like set up like companies and just cash.
I made 35 grand on the PPP loan.
Who said the awesome man? Who said the?
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how.
I don't know how that works.
Who was the one that made the? Who's the person that they hired to make the? I think it was when the Obamas were in charge and the website for Medicare, was it? Whoever they hired to make
the Obamacare website?
Not Medicare, the Obamacare website, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It was somebody
wasted a bunch of money and
it was somebody who was public and somebody was stupid. It was the parallel of hiring, you know, his daughter's husband, you know. It was like somebody who should not have been hired to make this, and the website didn't work for anybody, so nobody got their Obamacare when it first started because the website crashed instantly. They were paid like $2 million to make a website that didn't work within the first hour. Anyways, whatever,
and it cost $93 million to make.
Yeah,
and it didn't work.
That was when Obama was in there, right?
Yeah, I remember it. I just don't know why you're talking about it.
Everything's a fraud.
I mean, they just funded a startup.
I mean, it's all bullshit. Like, if we were more industrious, we could form a fake company and like get some kind of government grant. I don't know how hard that would be. I've never read about grants. Don't you just need a good grant writer and like?
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, most of it has to do with connections. Like, you got to get awarded a contract because you're connected in some way, right?
Yeah, right. Because it's like a backdoor handshake,
like, sort of. Like all the cement companies in New York back in the 70s where you can't make a deal unless you go through the mafia to buy cement for three times the cost.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what government has become. It's been the mafia in New York in the 70s.
Yeah. And I only bring all this up because it's just like, this is who is in charge of the technologies that can affect humanity.
Yeah, but there's no answer. I mean, we're all just disillusioned and depressed now.
How do we break out of it? We need Elon Musks that aren't Elon Musk, right? Who's the next?
You need like a Robin Hood of science, where the Robin Hood steals from the military and gives to the.
What was what was Val Kilmer's name? Oh, the Saint.
Oh yeah, he was gonna create like Cold Fusion.
He was giving away Cold Fusion. Yeah,
right. Yeah, we need the Saint right now.
Yeah, we need the Saint. We need the real life Saint.
We need the Saint Part Two.
Right. All right. We should wrap it up. Sevan, do you have anything to plug? Any Midnight Kids projects that are out there?
I do. Yes, I'm trying to create a Midnight Kids style network. So I'm trying to stream on twitch.tv on a profile called Midnight Crash. So I haven't started it yet, but it's gonna happen. It should be like a live show venue that I have in my backyard. So I want to invite you guys out to do a live real life sci-fi show on my stage with multi-camera video and everything. So, and then people can watch it on Twitch. So I'm trying to create that like network of podcasts, people doing things live on my stage.
Okay. I get it now. That's fucking cool.
It's going to be on twitch.tv/midnightcrash, but I should have programming soon. Like maybe in the next couple months.
So the account's there. They can already subscribe to the account.
Yes.
And then programming is upcoming.
Yes.
Okay. And, so just go to, yeah, just go say the address again.
Go to twitch.tv/midnightcrash, and hopefully in the next couple months we'll have some programming and have a lot of our Channel 101 friends making live shows or pre-recorded shows that will air that day. So hopefully sometime soon we'll have like a Sunday block of shows where we'll like every Saturday or Sunday night, 7 to midnight or something, we'll have a bunch of shows, hopefully. That's my goal.
All right, that sounds cool. That sounds rad. Less torturous than the way Willie told
Yeah, I
me
know.
About
I
it.
Did a bad job, man.
All right, great.
Willie, anything?
While we're here, go to Robotic Willie's Twitch and Real Life Sci-Fi's. I'm sure we have both of them.
Hey, we'll stream to your Real Life Sci-Fi Twitch. Doesn't have to be mine. I just want to provide the venue, really.
I mean, like, I'm on board either way. I'm just like, I think we have that. Like, subscribe to us.
Yeah.
Because originally we were going to do this live, but it never happened.
Yeah. But you guys did live shows before.
Yeah, we've done a few. But, yeah.
Yeah, and they're the worst thing in the world for me.
But we also, every single time, had, like, weird issues.
The video plays on Twitch? On the live shows, or
ours just went to YouTube. Oh, okay. We did Facebook live shows.
Okay, and then are they archived that way, or so you can like watch episodes? That's cool. Yeah, we'll do the same, basically the same. But I want to make it a regular thing. So just like Schraub Home Video and Harmontown.
Yeah, man, I'm like, dude, like, yeah, man, I'm in. I fucking love it.
Right,
cool.
Let's build this network.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Remember to go to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. 2 bonus episodes a week. And also remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening.